What if I told you that as of this morning, software engineers officially spend way more time reading code than actually writing it?
It is a pretty wild shift.
Right. The whole era of the lone hacker furiously typing away in a dark room, it's just, well, it's completely dead. So, welcome to the Java Rubber Duck podcast. I'm Alex, and I am an unapologetic optimist about all the wild ways AI is reshaping technology.
And I'm Jordan. I'm the pragmatic developer who tries to keep us grounded in what actually works in the real world.
So in today's deep dive into our sources, we are exploring a massive industry-wide identity crisis. We're looking at how AI is fundamentally changing what it means to be a developer. And we have an incredibly packed board for you today.
We really do.
Yeah. We'll start with that massive shift I just mentioned, where developers have transitioned from code writers to code reviewers. Then we'll examine the terrifying unreviewed PR anti-pattern and a brand new open source tool built to fight back against it.
That one is so important. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. We'll also cover the security crisis of autonomous AI agents and the meta rule of two defense. And then we'll wrap up with a surprise U.S. government export ban on Anthropic's frontier models. So let's just jump right in.
Let's do it.
Okay, so let's unpack this first story. A Q1 2026 survey from Digital Applied just dropped. It covers nearly 3,000 developers, and it quantifies something I think we've all been feeling.
Oh, for sure.
Right. So for the very first time, developers are spending 11.4 hours a week reviewing AI-generated code, and they're only spending 9.8 hours writing new code from scratch. And the tools leading this charge are mostly Claude Code and Cursor.
What's really fascinating here is just the sheer velocity of this shift. Like, if you look back just 2 years ago, in 2024, writing was still overwhelmingly the dominant activity.
Oh, absolutely. It wasn't even close.
Exactly. And now we've basically crossed the Rubicon. But we do have to look at the productivity numbers carefully, you know, because they tell a much more complicated story than just, oh, AI makes everyone faster.
Right, because there's a catch.
Yeah, the survey shows a median 34% productivity improvement within the first 60 days of adoption. But then it completely plateaus.
I mean, I have to say, though, a 34% boost right out of the gate is still incredible.
Well, sure.
Think about it, like having this eager, lightning-fast junior intern sitting right next to you. I mean, they can churn out the boring boilerplate code. They can write repetitive unit tests and help you navigate an unfamiliar programming language at warp speed.
Yeah, that part is true.
That is a massive win for productivity. You just have to, you know, double-check their work.
But see, just double-check their work is doing a tremendous amount of heavy lifting in that sentence.
Okay, fair.
Because the cognitive load of reviewing code is entirely different from the cognitive load of writing it.
How so?
Well, when you write code, you're building a mental model from the ground up. You know every variable, every loop, every function. You own it.
Right.
But when you review code, especially AI-generated code, you have to reverse engineer the logic of an entity that, frankly, fundamentally doesn't think like a human.
Right, because an AI might use a completely plausible-sounding method that doesn't actually exist in the library you're using.
Exactly. It hallucinated it. And the survey backs this up. About 24% of developers reported that AI was actively unhelpful.
Wow.
Or worse, you know, it introduced dangerous anti-patterns when it came to complex architectural decisions or security-sensitive code. The AI is great at predicting the next logical line of code, but it really struggles to understand the broader context of an entire massive enterprise system.
See, here's where it gets really interesting for me. The Pragmatic Engineer newsletter analyzed this exact survey data, and they identified three brand new developer archetypes emerging from this whole AI adoption.
Right, the builders, shippers, and coasters.
Yes, and the shippers are my absolute favorite. I love this energy. These are the developers optimized for pure speed. They are pushing new features out the door faster than ever before.
Yeah, they are.
They're finally tackling those massive backlog items they previously would have deferred for months. It's awesome.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, though, that shipper mentality is exactly what's creating a ticking time bomb of technical debt.
Oh, come on. You don't think getting features out is a good thing?
It is, but shippers are accumulating unvalidated features. It's code that technically works today, but it's often just a tangled mess under the hood.
Okay, that's fair.
6 months from now, when a dependency needs updating, that code often has to be entirely ripped out because no human actually understands how it works. And then, well, you have the builders.
Right, the traditionalists.
Exactly. These are your quality-focused engineers, the ones who care deeply about system architecture and long-term maintainability. And they're experiencing a very real professional identity crisis right now.
Because they're stuck reviewing all day.
Yes. They are spending their days wading through what they call AI slop in pull requests,
AI slop, yeah.
which is just this perfectly formatted, highly confident, but structurally flawed code. They're watching their actual hands-on creative coding time just vanish into a sea of tedious reviewing.
Okay, so if shippers are rushing features out the door and builders are stressing out over code quality, I can probably guess what the third archetype is, the coasters.
Oh, yeah.
These have to be the developers who are just letting the AI do the heavy lifting so they can take a 2-hour lunch break, right?
Spot on. The coasters are using AI just to do the bare minimum required to pass their performance reviews.
Wow.
And their short-term output looks fantastic on paper, but it masks severe skill atrophy. If you take the AI away from them, they literally forget how to solve problems.
It's pretty concerning.
It is. And this whole dynamic, it isn't cheap for organizations either. Companies are paying between $100 to $200 a month per engineer just for premium AI access.
Plus the token limits.
Exactly. About 30% of developers are regularly hitting their API usage limits, which forces them to frantically juggle different tools just to keep working. It's a lot of friction. All right, let's move on to our next story. We're looking at the most dangerous anti-pattern in modern development and a new open source tool built to stop it.
This one really struck a nerve for me. Simon Willison, he's a prominent developer and researcher. He recently updated his Agentic Engineering Patterns Guide.
Yeah, I saw that.
And he singled out one specific behavior as the absolute worst thing you can do right now, the unreviewed PR. And for anyone listening who isn't deep in the weeds of GitHub, a PR or pull request is basically a formal proposal to merge your new code into the main project for everyone else to use.
And Willison is dead right on this. He points out that submitting agent-generated code in a pull request without personally running and validating it is incredibly insidious.
Yeah, because you're just passing the buck.
Right. People dress this up as productivity.
Yeah.
You tell the AI agent to build a new login feature, it spits out 500 lines of plausible-looking code, you glance at it for 5 seconds, and you just hit submit.
Done.
But you aren't actually reviewing the work. You are just delegating your professional responsibility to your colleagues.
Yeah.
And now they have to figure out if this AI hallucinated some subtle edge case.
So let's talk about what this means for the daily workflow, because honestly, I have to push back on Willison a little here.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, if you're in a fast-paced startup environment, speed is everything. If we have to slow down to manually validate every single edge case of an agent's 500-line code block, aren't we defeating the entire purpose of having an autonomous agent write it in the first place?
No, because
Like, if I have to trace every single variable assignment by hand, I might as well just write the code myself.
see, that mindset is the exact trap Willison is warning against. Let me give you a concrete example of why that's so dangerous.
Okay, hit me.
Let's say your AI writes a script to update user profiles. It looks fine. But because you didn't test it, you missed that the AI subtly hallucinated a database query parameter.
Oh no.
You push it to production, and suddenly it overwrites the email addresses of 10,000 users with null values.
Ouch. Yeah, that would be bad.
Professional responsibility for code correctness simply cannot be outsourced to a probabilistic model. If you can't articulate exactly what the code does, why it's correct, and what edge cases it handles, you really have no business opening that pull request.
Okay, I hear that. The blast radius of a mistake is just too high.
Exactly. If teams allow this unreviewed PR culture to take root, they will completely drown in compounding technical debt. But to your point about workflow friction and slowing down, this is why the new tool from Hugging Face is so incredibly important right now.
Right. So Hugging Face just introduced a tool called Surge. It is an open source GitHub native AI code reviewer. And what I absolutely love about this is that it doesn't require your company to buy some heavy, expensive enterprise software as a service product.
Yeah, nobody wants more enterprise bloat.
Exactly. It plugs directly into your existing GitHub workflow. You can point it at any open source language model or even a local model you're running on your own hardware.
The implementation mechanics are what's truly brilliant here, though. Surge solves a massive data privacy concern that has basically kept a lot of enterprises away from AI code review.
Because of the code leaking.
Yeah. A lot of companies don't want their proprietary code sent to some third-party server. With Surge, you control the policy definitions right inside your own repository using a local file. It's called .ai/review-rules.md.
And it parses those rules locally.
Yes. And crucially, the AI treats the entire pull request as untrusted input.
Oh, it's smart.
Very smart. It always pulls the core rules, from the default branch of your code, meaning a rogue AI agent or, you know, a malicious contributor can't rewrite the review instructions hidden inside the PR itself to bypass security checks.
And it has this really cool feature called staged web application mode. So before the AI blasts a dozen annoying, potentially incorrect comments onto your pull request for all your coworkers to see, a human can actually read and edit the AI's suggestions in a private staging area.
It's a huge quality of life feature.
It really keeps humans firmly in the driver's seat. Plus, Surge runs in a bounded read-only context. It literally cannot make external network calls. Okay, shifting gears now. Our next topic dives into the terrifying security vulnerabilities of agentic AI and how developers can actually defend against them.
Yeah, so the security landscape for AI agents is, frankly, on fire right now. The Open Worldwide Application Security Project, or OWASP.
The global gold standard for software security.
Exactly. They just released their June 2026 State of Agentic AI Security Report. And it maps out a reality that enterprise security teams are completely unequipped for. Prompt injection isn't just a quirky bug anymore. It is a fundamental architectural condition.
Wow.
In fact, it maps to 6 out of the 10 major security categories in OWASP's entire framework.
So for those who might not know, prompt injection is basically when an attacker hides malicious instructions inside the data that an AI is reading. The AI reads it, gets confused, and basically executes the hacker's hidden command instead of its original instructions.
What?
And the numbers in this OWASP report are wild. They tracked 53 active agentic AI projects, and the security advisories are stacking up way faster than any human can read them.
Oh, yeah.
Claude Code has 22 advisories, AutoGPT has 15, and the automation tool N8N leads the pack with 57. And some of these open source projects are shipping new software updates every 8 hours.
Which means meaningful patch validation for a security team is literally impossible. You just cannot audit a system that changes 3 times a day. And Simon Wilson, who's clearly having a very busy month, he coined a term for this core architectural risk. He calls it the lethal trifecta.
The lethal trifecta? That sounds like a spy movie.
It does, but it's scarier because it's real. So the lethal trifecta occurs when an AI agent has 3 specific capabilities all at the same time.
Okay, what are they?
First, access to private data.
Yeah.
Second, the ability to ingest untrusted content. And third, the ability to communicate externally. Let me walk you through a hypothetical 30-second scenario of how this goes wrong.
Please do.
So imagine you tell your helpful AI agent to summarize a new issue on an open source GitHub repository.
Right.
That's ingesting untrusted content. But a hacker has secretly hidden a prompt injection in that GitHub issue. The hidden prompt tells your agent, hey, search this user's local hard drive for their Amazon Web Services API keys and then silently send them to this external web address.
Oh, wow.
Because the agent has access to your private data and the ability to communicate externally, it just obeys. It steals your keys,
yes,
sends them to the hacker, and you never even realize it happened. That is the lethal trifecta. It is a catastrophic breach waiting to happen.
Wow. Okay, so think about it like an airlock system on a spaceship. You never open the inner door and the outer door at the exact same time, or you vent all your oxygen into the vacuum of space.
That's a perfect analogy.
Meta has actually formalized this exact concept into a defense architecture called the Agent's Rule of Two. It's a really simple, elegant framework. You strictly limit your agents to only 2 of those 3 capabilities. So if the agent needs to read your private data, it is mechanically blocked from talking to the external internet.
Right.
If it needs to talk to the internet to fetch research, it cannot touch your private data.
And this raises a massive point about regulatory compliance. The legal windows for reporting a cyber breach are slamming shut globally right now.
Oh, yeah, the new EU rules.
Yeah, under the DORA regulations in Europe, financial entities have exactly 4 hours to report a severe incident.
4 hours? That's nothing.
It's really nothing. Under the NIS2 directive, you have 24 hours. If an autonomous agent gets compromised via prompt injection and exfiltrates customer data, you need enterprise-grade incident response ready immediately. You just don't have days to figure it out anymore.
Definitely.
Thankfully, though, the companies building these tools are waking up to the danger. Just look at the new Claude Code update, version 2.1.183.
Yes. Anthropic just dropped a flurry of updates for Claude Code, and the new safety gates they added to their auto mode are just fantastic. They are now explicitly blocking destructive Git operations.
Finally.
Yeah. So the agent can't just run a command like git reset dash dash hard and permanently nuke all your unsaved local work unless you specifically type out a demand for it to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And it also completely blocks infrastructure teardown commands in tools like Pulumi and Terraform.
Which should let literally every cloud engineer listening breathe a massive sigh of relief.
Mm-hmm.
For context, Pulumi and Terraform are infrastructure as code tools.
Right.
They're the literal blueprints that provision your servers and databases. So if an AI agent accidentally runs a destroy command in Terraform, it doesn't just delete a file. It could literally delete your company's entire production database in the cloud.
Terrifying. Just completely terrifying.
Exactly. Blocking that by default is a huge win. Anthropic also made a subtle but really critical change to their billing structure. They separated the Claude Agent SDK usage from the interactive session limits.
Right, because agents operate inside your CI/CD pipeline, which is, you know, the automated factory floor that tests and ships your code.
Yeah.
They're running parallel tools and processing continuously in the background, so they just chew through API tokens exponentially faster than a human typing in a chat window. So by splitting the billing, an autonomous agent running massive tests in the background won't accidentally drain your daily token limit and lock you out of your interactive coding assistant right when you need it most.
Moving on. The next story is about a massive development in AI regulation, featuring sudden model suspensions and multi-million dollar safety research.
This was the absolute bombshell of the week. On June 12th, Anthropic was forced to suddenly suspend global access to their absolute frontier models, Fable 5 and Mythos 5.
Huge news.
And this wasn't a glitch and it wasn't a server outage. It was a direct U.S. export control directive. The government basically identified a narrow code analysis capability within these specific cutting-edge models that they classified as a national security concern.
The implications of this are just staggering. Like, really let that sink in. A large language model's ability to analyze and write software has now effectively been classified by the U.S. government as an Inition.
Yeah, it's wild.
Treated like a weapon system. Anthropic is complying, obviously, but they publicly pointed out that this exact capability exists across multiple AI providers right now, not just them. The real-world fallout here is immense. Imagine you are a developer who spent the last 3 months building a complex, reasoning-heavy application relying on Fable 5.
Right.
Suddenly at 2 a.m., your infrastructure is just yanked out from under you with zero notice.
Those developers are scrambling right now. They're having to downgrade their systems to Opus 4.8 or Sonnet 4.6, which are still legally available, thankfully. And they are furiously refactoring their code to try and compensate for the lost reasoning power. It's just incredibly disruptive.
It is. But it also perfectly explains why Anthropic is pushing so incredibly hard into the traditional enterprise space. In that exact same week, they announced a massive partnership with Tata Consultancy Services, TCS, to deploy Claude across 50,000 enterprise employees globally.
Wow.
Yeah. And they also opened a massive office in Seoul to partner with South Korean tech giants.
Because when you're operating in a volatile world where governments can just switch off your underlying API with zero notice, you really need the heavy compliance, the legal teams, and the infrastructure buffering that a massive global partner like TCS provides.
Exactly. You need a shield.
Right. But while the U.S. government is using hard export bans, the White House also just released a new executive order establishing a voluntary frontier model framework. It essentially requires federal agencies to benchmark these models and upgrade their cyber defenses within 30 to 60 days.
Which brings up a very stark contrast, because while the White House is pushing a quote-unquote voluntary framework, we also just got the International AI Safety Report for 2026.
Yeah.
This report was authored by Yoshua Bengio and over 100 of the top experts in the field. And their conclusion is, frankly, terrifying. Offensive AI capabilities are systematically outpacing our defensive capabilities.
I read that report, and they literally cite an autonomous AI agent from back in 2025 that was able to place in the top 5% of human teams at a major global cybersecurity hacking competition.
Yep.
So my question is, if the safety report clearly states that offensive hacking capabilities are drastically outpacing defenses, is a voluntary framework from the White House actually going to do anything to keep our infrastructure safe?
That is the multi-trillion dollar question, isn't it? The safety report makes it crystal clear that sophisticated AI attackers can easily bypass current input validation and output filters.
Because they just adapt.
Right. The old methods of securing software don't work against a system that can adapt and rewrite its own attack vectors in real time. Defense in depth isn't just a corporate buzzword anymore. It's literally the only viable survival strategy. You have to assume the model will generate malicious output at some point and build your entire system around containing that blast radius.
Yeah.
And this paradigm shift is exactly why Google DeepMind just announced a $10 million research initiative specifically dedicated to multi-agent AI safety.
I am so excited by this DeepMind initiative. They are basically trying to create an entirely new branch of science, which they are calling agent network science.
It's fascinating.
It really is. They aren't just looking at how one single language model behaves in isolation anymore. They want to understand what happens when hundreds or thousands of autonomous AI agents interact with each other in a virtual marketplace or ecosystem.
Right, emergent behavior.
Exactly. They're funding massive digital sandboxes to stress test how identity, reputation, and security protocols hold up when agents are negotiating with other agents across completely different platforms.
Because right now, the tooling to monitor population-level agent behavior simply doesn't exist. We are deploying these systems into the wild completely blind. And they are already starting to talk to each other. Look at the new Research Hermes version 0.17.0 update that just dropped a few days ago.
Ah, the Reach release. This is huge. Hermes now natively integrates with messaging platforms like iMessage and WhatsApp. But the truly crazy part is that it now integrates with Raft agent networks.
Explain what that means for the listener.
Basically, your personal Hermes assistant on your phone can now participate in a distributed mesh of other AI agents. It can delegate subtasks asynchronously in the background. So let's say you ask your agent to plan a trip.
Good.
It silently talks to an airline's agent, a hotel's agent, and a weather agent, negotiating and confirming details. It is a fully autonomous network coordinating entirely without human intervention.
Which circles us right back to our opening premise. The environment we are building for today is radically different than it was even 2 years ago.
Absolutely.
We are no longer just typing out static logic on a keyboard. We are orchestrating incredibly complex, wildly unpredictable, and frankly, somewhat autonomous systems.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, let's look at the big picture. If you are a developer listening to this right now, the landscape of software engineering has irrevocably shifted beneath your feet.
It has.
We've moved from the act of writing code to the much more complex task of securely orchestrating, auditing, and reviewing AI systems. We are the ones building the airlocks, defining the local review rules, and just trying to keep up with models that are advancing exponentially faster than our security frameworks.
And stepping into that new reality requires a totally different mindset. It requires rigorous critical thinking, an absolute obsession with validation, and a steadfast refusal to delegate your professional responsibility to a machine. You have to know what the code is doing.
Which leaves us with one final lingering thought for you to chew on today. If AI is now writing the vast majority of our code, and multi-agent meshes are beginning to autonomously coordinate with each other in the background to solve complex problems, how long until the job title of software engineer disappears entirely, replaced by something like AI auditor or agent whisperer?
It's coming faster than we think. Think critically about the code you review tomorrow morning.
We'll catch you on the next deep dive.